and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton issued strong warnings to Syria's President Assad that there would be serious consequences if he used chemical weapons.
A senior U.S. official says the top American and Russian diplomats will hold a surprise meeting with the U.N. peace envoy for Syria today. The White House plans to ask Congress for $50 billion in relief funds for states hammered by Hurricane Sandy. That figure will be way short of what affected states requested. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut alone asked for $82 billion. Illegal immigration is going down. That's the latest from the Census Bureau. This is NBC News Radio. The Obama administration is taking a tough line on the fiscal cliff. NBC's Tracy Potts reports the Treasury Secretary has drawn a line in the sand.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says that the administration is willing to go over the cliff, let taxes go up, let these cuts happen if Republicans press the idea of no tax increases for the wealthy.
Many economists predict if automatic tax increases and spending cuts take effect in January, it could send the economy into recession. Antivirus software maker John McAfee is under arrest in Guatemala. The software maker had crossed into that country while trying to evade authorities in Belize. Now, it's a prank phone call getting international attention. On an Australian radio show called up the London hospital where Kate Middleton is being treated for extreme morning sickness. The DJs then pretended to be Queen Elizabeth.
Hello, I'm just after my granddaughter Kate. I want to see how her little tummy bug is going.
The DJs involved have since apologized. I'm Tom Graham, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
This season at the Home Depot, Husky 65-piece mechanics tool sets are just $29.88. These tools are new, improved, and guaranteed forever. And they're even more affordable. So what you give the do-it-yourselfer on your list can be a little gift to your wallet, too. Because you gave the gift of doing with a Husky 65-piece mechanics tool set for just $29.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
This week, the owner of the Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and Longhorn Steakhouse cut its revenue forecast, revealing that sales have fallen quickly. Today, we're getting some insight into why. Reports say Darden Restaurants will announce today that it has changed its mind about a policy that created huge negative publicity and backlash, a plan to cut many of its employees' hours from full to part-time to save on health care costs. Stock and Garmin soon may be heading north. The GPS maker is joining the S&P 500 Tuesday of next week. That news usually gives the stock a quick boost because all mutual funds tied to the S&P, and there are many, have to now add it to their portfolios. This morning we have two more reports on the nation's jobs. Challenger, Gray, and Christmas to report its tally of layoff announcements for November. And after that, the Labor Department has its reading of initial jobless claim filings for last week. All that, of course, ahead of tomorrow's big November employment unemployment reading from the government. S&P NASDAQ futures each gaining a point. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This season at the Home Depot, Husky 65-piece mechanics tool sets are just $29.88. These tools are new, improved, and guaranteed forever. And they're even more affordable. So what you give the do-it-yourselfer on your list can be a little gift to your wallet, too. Because you gave the gift of doing with a Husky 65-piece mechanics tool set for just $29.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, you...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are, are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, the 6th day of December 2012. And as far as I'm concerned, there are only two issues that we need to explore today. And there are only two issues in the larger picture that we will explore today. Right to work for less, and the city of Detroit being forced into a financial review by the state trader Andy Dillon, state treasurer Andy Dillon. Obviously, both of those issues are major news, and they deserve a considerable amount of our time and study, and we're going to give it just that today. Ladies and gentlemen, I am beyond frustrated with what's happening in the state of Michigan, and I'm going to make this as clear as I possibly can. If I have anything to say about it, and like you, I do, I will not shut up until the Republicans are taught a very important lesson. You can't ignore the will of the vast majority of your citizens without there being severe and irreversible repercussions. We'll get to all this as we work our way through the 4 hours of radio that we have today. And what a stellar cast of characters to work through all this stuff with me. Joining us at 7 o'clock, Susan Demas, in her regular time slot, journalist with Mirrors News Service, who was embedded, if you will, at the state capitol yesterday. She'll talk about right to work, and we'll get her spin on it. Bernie Porn from Epic MRA joins us. A polling just out, hot off the presses. What do the general public have to say about right to work? How many support it? How many don't? And more importantly, if right to work is pushed, is forced upon the people of the state of Michigan, what will the result be at the ballot box come 2014? Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, you can imagine he'll be wound up today with plenty on his mind about right to work. And then, of course, one of this great state's most important and profound union leaders, Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, joins us in studio to give us his take on what's happening. I talked to him last night. He was in Lansing all day yesterday, and we've got all that to get to and so much more. But before we do any of this, let's get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is courage. I think it makes sense in light of the political landscape and the quote-unquote agenda of the Republican Party. Courage. Courage. Define it any way you want. You can look in the mirror and ask yourself, does this represent courage? And if the answer is no, you better find a set and get going. Listen, I don't know that I could be any more empowered for this fight than I am right now. And I'm not just talking about right to work. And I'm not just talking about the state potentially taking over the city of Detroit. I'm talking about our democratic rights continue to be disrespected by one political party. And it is clear to me that not only do they not have courage, they are cowards. It is so easy to take a position on something when you are in the majority. But if you are in the minority and you do not, or you're not given a voice because the Republicans refuse to give Democrats a voice, then what are you left with? You are left with courage, courage of conviction, courage of purpose, courage of point of fact. Folks, we need our Democratic lawmakers to stand up or maybe walk out. We need them to have strong, definitive voices. We need the entire labor community. And I didn't say organized labor community. I said labor community to stand up, to show up, and to send the definitive and clear message that we now will no longer take what it is you're trying to force upon us. And that will take courage. Do you have it? Well, again, if you don't, you better find it. Or the life that you currently enjoy, and this is not the scare tactic, is a life that will be nothing but a memory and something you end up telling your grandchildren about. Race to the bottom? If it were only that simple. This is a race to insanity. Are you going to stand up and make a difference? How will history remember you? It's going to remember me for having courage, strength, fortitude, focus, vision. You're either going to be with me or against me. And if you're against me, watch out, because I got a full head of steam. Courage is today's first word.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings. And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And we welcome back Anthony on this very quiet sports morning. Detroit Pistons played last night. Anthony, you want to give me an update on how that went?
Yeah, I didn't catch most of the game because I was watching the Barry Sanders documentary last night. But I did turn it on late in the fourth quarter. They were actually trailing 15, and then they put this crazy run together with about, I think, 4 or 5 minutes left. And it was weird. They were getting these crazy turnovers, and they just started hitting buckets. And then Tayshaun ended up hitting a three to bring them back within 3 points. And then from then and out, they collapsed with about a minute left, and they lost.
Then they lost. So anyway, they were home yesterday, right?
Yep, that ended the streak.
Well, I just saw the score. Obviously, with all that's going on, I did not have time to read sports stories this morning for quite legitimate reasons. It was 104-97 or something like that. So it looked like they were competitive. Now you've explained that they were, but perhaps not as competitive as they, as the score shows. But anyway, it's unfortunate. I don't know if you heard yesterday, the National Hockey League announced that, they have, stepped up negotiations. There's some minor belief that they are closing in on a deal. I think the reality, Anthony, is they know if they don't put something together in the next week or two, that there's no way they can have a season this year.
Yeah, I'm still shocked that they can have a season. It's gonna be curious to see how many games they actually end up playing this year and when the playoffs would start and all that. That'd be cool if we had like hockey into July.
That very well may happen. I don't know how they can save the season at this point either. You know, although in hockey, you know, Anthony, sometimes do you have 3 or 4 days off between games? I would imagine they can abbreviate some of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe you never get more than a day off at a time or something like that.
No, I guess we'll have to wait and see. They got to make a deal first, then they've got to ratify it, then they've got to vote on it, and then they got to, I would think, to do at least a week of training camp, at least a week. And I can't imagine that they're going to have much of an exhibition season. I'll bet you it's less than three games, and then they have to get going. I don't know how they do this. I truly don't, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that they'll get this thing done. A lot of the hockey guys were optimistic yesterday.
All right, listen, you said you watched the Barry Sanders documentary. I briefly saw a story late in the day yesterday. This is obviously before it aired, or maybe it was after it aired. I don't know. It was not only excellent, but Barry Sanders dished out a lot of stuff, talked about the past, and it was very forthcoming.
Yeah, it was. I didn't get to see Barry play that much, but I've obviously followed him quite well, and it was cool seeing him tell the story himself and his brothers and his sisters, and they showed how tough his dad was. But it was kind of cool, like finally kind of getting an answer of what Barry, why he retired, and it was mainly because of losing. It seemed like he said if the team was winning, would he be retired? Then he said maybe not, but he wasn't interested in breaking the record at all. And he said he was happy with what he did on the field.
Well, he should be happy with what he did on the field. He was quite entertaining. I obviously did watch him a lot. But, I've shared this with you before. One of the challenges with playing in the Silverdome is that you had to sell out 80,000 seats. So there were a lot of games that were not televised during the Barry Sanders era, if you can imagine that. It's one thing to sell, and you got to sell 80,000 seats. You can sell 70,000. That's a lot of people. 60,000, a lot of people. But when you got to sell 80,000 and you got a team that's, of course, this is nothing new, inconsistently winning, although some of the best years the Lions have had in the last three decades were the years that Barry and Scott Mitchell and Herman Moore and so on and so forth played. But anyway, I'll have to check that out. In the meantime, a quick break here. When we come back, the city of Detroit, will they have an emergency financial manager? Is it even legal? What the hell is going on? And is this the fix that they need? I want to hear from you. 888-552-3595. It's going to be a tough day. Make sure you strap in and punch in, because First Shift has got a lot on its agenda, and we're taking you along. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan. For those who celebrate holidays during the season, we wish you the very, very best. Enjoy it with your family and friends, and thanks for listening.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
You still have that disabled vehicle blocking your left lane on 94 westbound at Gratiot, and that closure due to a building fire on Ryan Road, both directions at 10 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet. Turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, Diggity Doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock. All right, we're going to set this up properly. We're going to start with some audio from Channel 7's Tom Waite on the city of Detroit and the potential for the state to impose upon the city an emergency financial manager. So let's go to the audio, and then when we return, I'll set this up and we'll wait to hear from you.
They rallied in the rotunda and they filled the Senate chambers, upset about even the possibility of legislation that would make Michigan a right to work.
All right, this
state.
Is the wrong audio, guys. I want the stuff on the state to review Detroit's finances, please.
You know that's not good. There certainly are ways the city could convince the state not to install an emergency financial manager, but the situation is absolutely dire. And when the state treasurer shows up at City Hall, you know that's not good. His arrival in council chambers can mean only one thing. Detroit's financial nightmare is not improving, and the state treasurer is not happy.
Most of the council members and the mayor's folks in the mayor's office, I think they recognize that it's getting too close for comfort and that we do need to see a change here.
Detroit dodged an emergency manager earlier this year when the state's first review team finished looking at the city's finances. Instead of a state takeover, the city went ahead with a consent agreement. But now the treasurer is questioning whether the terms of that agreement have been broken, which is triggering the new review and could end with an emergency financial manager.
If you look at the city's operations, when we went through the review, it became clear to me that the operations are as broken as the balance sheet.
Council members do not want an emergency financial manager, but believe it's going to happen if big changes aren't made right away.
The cash burn that we're going through is of a real concern and could drive us into bankruptcy, and I don't think anyone wants that.
As for the mayor, we caught up with him tonight, but he is not talking on camera. Earlier today, he released this statement. My administration has had discussions with the state regarding an emergency financial manager previously. Until the state makes a final determination, I will continue to implement my restructuring plan on behalf of the citizens of Detroit. As the review begins, Detroit is facing facing a cash crunch that could lead to furloughs beginning next month. The city needs the state to unlock $30 million in bond money, but a stalemate between the mayor and council over a law firm contract is delaying the release of that cash. Financial experts say Detroit has few options.
You can only solve a financial difficulty by one of three ways. Increase revenues, decrease expenses, or a combination of both. And most successful restructurings and reorganizations are a combination of both.
And bankruptcy could be absolutely devastating for the city of Detroit, obviously, but also for the state. It would have ripple effects across the state. As for emergency manager versus a emergency financial manager, remember in the election last month, voters shot down the emergency manager law, which means that an emergency financial manager doesn't have quite as much power, but still the state would have a lot of leverage on what goes on here in Detroit.
All right, now that's one take on it. I'll get to where I stand on this in just a moment. But I do want to go to one more piece of audio. Detroit City Councilwoman Joanne Watson, well, she has a suggestion. Is it a legitimate solution? Let's listen to the audio. We'll comment on the other side.
Meanwhile, Councilwoman Joanne Watson has called on the White House to bail out the city of Detroit. She says she expects it after the reelection of President Barack Obama.
After the election of Jimmy Carter.
Is that
after the election of Jimmy Carter. The Honorable Coleman Alexander Young, he went to Washington, D.C. He came back home with some bacon.
Right.
That's what you do. That's what you do. This is our people in an overwhelming way supported the reelection of this president. And there ought to be a quid pro quo, and you ought to exercise leadership on that. Of course, not just that, but why not?
The federal government has bailed out cities before. In 1975, President Gerald Ford extended more than $2 billion in credit to New York City to help it avoid a financial collapse.
All right, there's precedent, certainly, to do that. I don't know. By the way, that was from Fox 2. I don't know that I wholesale support Joanne Watson's attitude or posturing on this. The federal government owes the city of Detroit nothing. And the president, there is no quid pro quo in that regard. But there is a responsibility as one of the nation's greatest, historically one of the nation's greatest industrial and business centers, continues to be that, by the way. There should be major consideration for an aid package for the city. I don't know if Mayor Dave Bing has asked the White House for financial help. I'm going to suggest he probably hasn't, because his ego gets in the way of every freaking thing that seems to happen. So here's my take on this situation. I think the state of Michigan all along has been salivating at the opportunity to take over the city, its finances, and under the old emergency manager law, well, they were ready to pounce, pounce hard. Of course, we did our job in November, and November 6th, and we made sure that law was struck down. But now the emergency financial manager law is still in limbo, and we know that the governor is seeking a new deal on that. Well, this all actually factors into the right to work debate. Why? The Democrats are posturing, and I think legitimately so, to do everything they can to vote no on any piece of legislation that would help the governor or give the governor what he wants. This is not necessarily a bad thing, although it can be and even might be, probably will be, controversial. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. With that said, is the right path to take an emergency financial manager for the city of Detroit? After we have seen the ongoing struggle between the mayor's office and the city council, we have seen a lack of progress, we have seen a lack of understanding, and a less than willing attitude to cooperate with one another. Are there any other options? And is bankruptcy, as some of you have said on this very program, really the only legitimate option? Some of you truly believe that it is. What I don't think you're factoring in is what that does to pension obligations. Folks, this would devastate
thousands of former employees who are now legitimately retired after working excellent and legitimate careers. It would take everything away from them but a small percentage of what they've rightfully earned. We need to be careful when we dialogue about issues like this, that we don't jump to conclusions and that we look at the big picture. So the question's out there, and now it's your turn to respond. Before we get to the break, I want to remind you that this issue, an emergency financial manager for the city of Detroit, radically alters what most of you passionately believe is right for the city. It's going to get ugly, in my opinion. Let me hear from you now. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. A quick break, and then we'll hear from you right after we do this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's get a traffic update. 94 westbound at Gratiot, that disabled vehicle has been cleared. Now Ryan Road, north and south at East 10 Mile, that's closed due to a building fire. Cecil Avenue, both directions at 94, that's closed for construction. And starting at 9 a.m., two lanes will be closed on 75 north and south at Baldwin Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet. Turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.
Once again, there's a tempest brewing in the national teapot. We're talking secession. Well, some of us are. Actually, very few. And some of them aren't too tightly wrapped. There's now a secession drive in a mess of red states. But it started right here in my crazy state of Texas when someone identifying himself only as Micah H. posted a petition on the White House website shortly after President Obama's reelection. Expressing exasperation with Obama's policies, Micah demanded that we Texans be allowed to decamp from the Union and become our own separate nation. Bam! Micah's petition exploded in the blogosphere, drawing raucous applause and huzzas. Naturally, most of the cheering came from out-of-staters, delighted with the thought that Texas and its notoriously nutty right-wing political leaders might leave. In case that nuttiness factor was in doubt, a GOP official in southeast Texas rushed out to demonstrate the intellectual depth of the secessionist sentiment by militantly declaring, "We must contest every single inch of ground and delay the baby-murdering, tax-raising socialist at every opportunity. In due time," he added, "the maggots will have eaten every morsel of flesh off the rotting corpse of the Republic, and therein lies our opportunity." By maggots, he meant Obama supporters, but I guess you knew that. This is Jim Hightower saying, many in the national media have expressed shock and alarm that Micah's online petition has drawn some 118,000 digital signatures. But get a grip. Let's remember that there are more than 26 million Texans, including 3.5 million Obama voters. So, sorry, America, but Texas isn't going anywhere. And even if it did, Austin has already filed a counterpetition to then secede from Texas and operate as its own state within the U.S.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
All right, welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. I want to hear from all of you on what is proposed for the city of Detroit. Pick up the phone. This is your show. It's your voice. It's your megaphone. I want to hear from you. Let's do this now. 888-552-3595. Kevin in Melvindale joins us now. Kevin, thanks for punching in. What's on your mind this morning?
You know, Tony, we've talked in the past, and, you know, I've contended, and I still contend that, you know, when you look at the governor and the state, you know, the state has the ability to help the city of Detroit out, but, you know, they have such an agenda that they want certain powers and certain control. You know, I think the city council, I think the people have to continue to fight this thing, because it's going to be a continued assault with this. When you look at the right to work legislation coming forth, I look at that as a continued assault against labor unions, against collective bargaining. So I'm not surprised at all.
Oh, Kevin, how about against the middle class? How about against history? We could go on for hours. What the Republicans are doing is pure vengeful politics that do absolutely nothing to promote growth, to promote unity. You know, the governor, Kevin, says that he's all about relentless positive action. That's a bunch of cowpucking.
Well, you know, Tony, they if you look over the last, decade, at what, even when you go back to President George W. Bush and the Republican agenda, they say whatever they need to say to get elected. But they never, ever legislate or do anything, in my opinion, to help the middle class, working class, and poor people. They fool poor people to vote against their own economic interests, and that's why we're in the situation we are in now.
People
did not get out to vote for Bergeron-Yarrow. I don't understand why people didn't realize this was coming. No. Elections have consequences. Unfortunately, you know, the Democrats have got to hold the governor's feet to the fire and say, hey, if you do put this through, anything else that you want is going to be gridlocked.
Kevin, I couldn't agree more, and I want to thank you for your call. I will tell you this. You're right. There are consequences to either electing or not electing, showing up or not showing up, and we're paying the price for that right now, but that doesn't mean we have to take it. And this is the time for Democrats to show true leadership. This is a time for the electorate to show true democracy in action. Wow. 888-552-3595. Keith in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, Keith. Thanks for giving us a call. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tony. I was thinking about this problem in the city with that I lived in all my life. Joanne Watson speaks about, which she's the only one that's very persistent about, this $200 million that was supposedly owed to the city. I guess that goes back to Dennis Archer and John Engler, which I don't hear Archer mentioning anything. Hardly hears his name. And also the city people with the money, like Carmanos and Gilbert and Illich, I'm wondering how do they weigh in on this, and would that be advantageous for them if the city went bankrupt or not? And I don't hear anything from them. And perhaps the U.S. government could lend Detroit a hand, but I'm looking at it as somewhere like GM, where they would somewhat be intertwined into the restructuring of the city. What do you think?
Well, Keith, you ask a lot, and thank you for your call. You ask a lot of really excellent questions, so let me just lay this out a little bit. No one benefits from a bankruptcy. It's much different than a personal bankruptcy. It's much different than even a corporate bankruptcy, and it's, although not unprecedented, it would not be the path to follow. There's no question that if the city of Detroit were to file bankruptcy, we would see an immediate lessening of jobs, massive amount of job cuts, even worse than it is now, massive amount of service cuts. From a business climate standpoint, and maybe this is why you're not hearing from the Gilberts and the Karmanises and the Yelliches and others, is because they certainly don't want the city to go bankrupt. Now, we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. Don't you for a moment think that these very powerful men who have literally invested combined billions of dollars into the city's infrastructure and its very foundation are in the process of building up something that is really starting to look positive and prosperous, they want to make sure the city stays as viable as long as it can. My concern continues to be something that you said at the very beginning of your call, which is the state of Michigan seems more concerned about gaining control than about fixing what's going on. The $30 million, let's start with that one, and then we'll get to the $200 million. The $30 million that they are holding hostage, as Richard Mack, attorney Richard Mack, said on this very show just 2 days ago, is the city's money. They shouldn't be holding it hostage. Let me also remind you that when we had State Senator Coleman Young on the show, he called what the state was doing blackmail on the city of Detroit. It's true. It's absolutely true. So we need to be very careful how we view this. We need to be very, very careful that we don't let anybody breathe. Now, with regard to the $200 million, listen, Andy Dillon has already said that money's never coming back. Just leave it alone. So at this point, it's not coming back. You might as well just turn your back on it and walk away. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And, of course, this has historically to do with the deal that was made between the state, John Engler, and Mayor Dennis Archer. 100% right, Keith. That's exactly what happened. Fortunately, the state kept that money, and it's not coming back. So we've got to be very careful. I got obviously a lot more to say on this. 888-552-3595. I need to hear from you folks. You better pick up the phone and call this hour. I've got to hear from my friends in Detroit. Let's go to Theo, who joins us now. Blessings to you. Merry Christmas, Theo. What's on your mind?
Thank you, your friend in Detroit. Happy Thursday to you. I was calling to weigh in on this subject as well. You know, there are many dollars in our accounts receivable in addition to that over $200 million that caused the deal between John Engler and Dennis Archer. And it's being reported, as a matter of fact, that Mike Ilitch owes the city of Detroit more than $200,000.
$200,000?
I'm sorry, million, excuse me, $200 million.
And do you know what for, Theo?
Well, it has a lot to do with Joe Louis Arena.
Okay.
Also, the sports teams, is there an accounting for the kind of income tax, which is in the millions, that they owe? And the mayor himself has stated in an interview that annually about $60 million goes uncollected. He's been there 3 years. This was not said recently, and he does not seem to be doing anything to collect those income taxes that are due the city. And some of the tax collectors have even been laid off, which is quite stupid in my opinion. Why would you lay off the people who have the ability to bring in revenue? When you talk about the revenue-generating assets that the city has, there's not a lot of movement on that. It's been reported that McGursky would only take $60 million to bring into renovation, while they're giving DTE millions. I was at the city council when they gave them $154 million contract, and they're still asking for additional monies. The kind of management and accounting that is going on in this city does not say to me that you have an administration who is trying to build the city. That's how you bring in more revenue.
All right, but, Phil, let me ask you this question. Do you then think a financial manager is the answer?
No, because
Hold on. Then what is the answer, Theo? Because I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with anything you've said, but we've got to talk about a solution.
Well, the first solution is, one, to subpoena the mayor. The council has subpoena power. That he does, they do, I should say. Number two, we need a team to generate revenue in the city, not to continue cutting everything in the city. That's one of the solutions. Why would you lay off tax collectors? That goes counter to anything that makes any logical sense.
Well, you know, and that was supposed to be part of the consent decree, is that they were going to beef up the collecting patrol.
But isn't that interesting? And that, they call them benchmarks. There were 10 of them. That happened to be at the bottom. You know, it appears to me, Tony, that the real issue that's going on has to do with vulture capitalism. And Snyder, a businessman, a big supporter of Romney, who is a vulture capitalist, is a vulture capitalist himself. And they are swarming over the city of Detroit. Because the bottom line is the city has $8 billion, that's with a B, in pension money, and they want it. Because the pension fund in the city of Detroit is run well, the one in the state of Michigan is not.
All right, we got to take a break here, Theo. Thanks for your call. I understand and hear your frustration. 888-552-3595. Folks, you better pick up the phone and call. John in Clinton Township is coming up next on First Shift. Stay where you're at. This is 1310 WDTW. First Shift continues after this.
This is Mark Brewer, chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. On behalf of the Michigan Democratic Party, I want to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. New SK Energy Shots. Make the switch to a better source of energy. Available at 7-Eleven, Planet Fitness, Rite Aid, and your local retailers.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
In negotiating the deal with the state, the city was told to
to use Miller Canfield Law Firm. We have Miller Canfield on the state side and Miller Canfield on the city side negotiating this bond deal. Well, Tony, what typically happens when a municipality gets bonds from the MSA, negotiated bonds, they get that money. They get access to that money. But in this case, Tony, in this unique situation, the state said, I don't want the city to have access to its own money. This is the city's money. I'm a Detroit citizen. We're paying taxes or we're paying interest on that borrowed money right now, $137 million. But Dylan said, I don't want the city to have access to this money. Even the Michigan Finance Authority, Tony, said they didn't have a problem with the city having access to the money. It was Andy Dylan who said, I want them to have to come to me to get permission to use the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
On 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. We're going to go back to the phones. Give us a call. 888-552-3595. John in Clinton Township joins us now. John, happy holidays to you. You're on the air.
Happy holidays to you, Tony.
Thank you.
Hey, I know Detroit, I don't have all the solutions for them, obviously, but maybe a couple of answers are they need to put a tax on some of the sporting events to help out the city and let it be known that you're helping the city out. Maybe a guy like Gillage, I know he's done a lot for the city, but maybe he can make more of his shirts and souvenirs right in Detroit. Help Detroit out, get him some more jobs. Same with Mr. Ford. Maybe he can make some of his sweatshirts, his T-shirts, and souvenirs right in the city of Detroit and help the people out.
Oh, you're right. You know what? Every little bit helps, John. I'm not against keeping this stuff local, trying to stimulate the economy. I think that those are, you know, even the tax, even the surcharge is a good idea.
Yeah, maybe the residents of Detroit, too. I mean, I'll try to buy more products in Detroit. Rather than come to the suburbs, try to buy more stuff right in their own city. And
well, you see, that's part of the problem is that a lot of, like, grocery stores, that's not an option for most Detroiters. They don't have grocery stores in the city of Detroit.
I hear you. It's a shame. I mean, they got to urge more stores to get down there. Maybe Myers can make a couple more stores down there.
Excellent idea. John, thank you for your call. I think that, you know, again, nothing should be left off the table. And I mean nothing. Any idea that will generate revenue, any idea, as long as it's legal and it makes sense, you should embrace it. Truly embrace it. All right. We go to my brother, Les, in Detroit. Les, glad to hear from you this morning. I hope you're doing well.
Yes. Good morning, fellow Patriots. To answer your question, Tony, no, we don't need another financial manager. I think the citizens have voted on that this past November, that we don't need an emergency manager. And, you know, and if I owed you some money, Tony, you want your money. I mean, you don't care if it's a year later or 10 years later. You still want your money. If you owe me some money, give it to me. So to me, if we say we're just going to forget that we owe you some money and turn your back on it, $200 million? I don't think not, Tony. You know, we need to get the money that's owed to us.
So
if they paid us the money, they owed us.
Let me throw this out there. Okay, I don't disagree with you, but Les, the mayor doesn't talk about it. The city council doesn't talk about it. There's no legal action pending. There's no discussion, Les. So what do we do?
Well, I hear that at the council meeting, they have discussed it, and the last conversation I heard, a council meeting a couple of weeks ago, that they put the corporate council on that task to get our money back. So it's out there. Will the state cooperate? See, we have little cooperation from the state. It's almost like they want to force us to do their bidding. You know, and I don't like that. I don't like to be held hostage, you know, with money that they owe us. Well, I know I owed the federal government. They came after me, okay? They wanted their money. They got it.
Yeah, well,
they're coming after me to get my money.
You're not wrong. I don't see anybody, and I'm starting to get really angry now, Les. I don't see anybody I don't see the mayor stepping up, and maybe the council did tell Crystal Crittenden to go after that cash. If they did, why isn't it in the paper? Where the hell is the media and all this stuff?
Well, you're the media, Tony. We saying it right now. You know, we can't depend on what we call the mainstream media because they're corporate-controlled media. They're going to put out the propaganda that they want us to hear only.
Right.
See, it takes shows like yours to put information out there. You know, we wouldn't have any information at all.
I got to tell you, Les, I am so disgusted with what the state is doing. Andy Dillon, supposed Democrat, Andy Dillon, which is why I call him the state traitor instead of the state treasurer, because do you want to talk about somebody that acts like a dictator? It's our treasurer. This guy is reprehensible, Les.
Well, it's something about Detroit. They just want us to fail, Tony. I don't get that. And you know, you said about the mayor. That's why I tried to recall him in 2010, get him out of there. We need leadership. We don't need guys to sit back and let things happen. You let your house fall apart. You sit in the house and you don't repair it. It's doomed to fall apart.
Well, now you know why Bean Steel went bankrupt, Les. It's clear he doesn't know how to run a business. But I got to move on. I got other callers. But I appreciate, as always, my brother, your smart and considerate words. 888-552-3595. Lee in Farmington Hills joins us now. Lee, happy holidays to you. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, this is Lee. How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
I was just downtown Saturday night with Noel night with my family, and, we took a little tour with some friends. And I think the most amazing thing about Detroit is that the nightlife has returned. The city is vibrant, and the downtown area absolutely looks wonderful now. I mean, I'm just astounded with what happened with what I attribute to Archer. And I would say that what interests me about this whole thing about Detroit, to me it looks like Detroit has started turning the corner. I'm wondering about why they're interested. And when I hear this lady that just spoke earlier on your program about $8 billion in pensions, I have to admit, my ears perked up like a taxon, you know? Because this seems to be a recurrent theme that you're hearing. I read recently 18% of Americans are all that's left that even have a pension. And when I hear there's $8 billion out there, here's my question to you, and maybe you can't answer it, maybe one of your other guests can. Who gets control of that if they take control of the city? If the state takes control of the city, who gets to control that $8 billion in pensions for the people that have worked there their whole lives?
Lee, that's an amazingly insightful question. It is my understanding that, and this would, of course, go before a judge, that would be one of the decisions that's made by the probate judge. He would decide if the independent pension board continues to administer to that fund, or they would, of course, grant the state or the emergency financial manager the right. And if that happens, you're going to see a lot of people, Lee, get very nervous very fast.
Well, you know, one thing I've heard about bankruptcies in cities and in other corporations is that when they have to turn the bankrupt pension funds over, that what happens essentially is the people get about 20 cents on the dollar from the federal pension program.
Right.
I don't know.
That's what I was referencing earlier, that these promised benefits would be reduced and everything these folks have worked their entire lives for would go away. Lee, I gotta move on very quickly. Let's go to Ross. Ross, welcome to First Shift. I've only got a brief minute with you, bud. What's on your mind?
Yes, basically, Mr. Tropiano, what I just wanted to do is give you a suggestion that you should interview an attorney from the city of Detroit by the name Jerry Goldberg. He does have a lot of good suggestions as to how to take care of this problem, financial problem. For example, the city of Detroit does receive approximately $400 million from the casinos.
Nice.
And that money is put into receivership. The city of Detroit doesn't even get a penny of that.
And you said the name was Ross. You said the name was Jerry Goldberg.
Yes, Jerry Goldberg.
All right, well, we got to take a break for the top of the hour, Ross. Thanks so much for the call. I don't mean to be rude, folks. We'll be back with Susan Demas on the other side.
The feeling's here.
1310 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's get a traffic update. 94 westbound at Gratiot, that disabled vehicle has been cleared. Now, Ryan Road, north and south at East 10 Mile, that's closed due to a building fire. Cecil Avenue, both directions at 94, that's closed for construction. And started at 9 a.m., two lanes will be closed on 75, north and south at Baldwin Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Taking a tough line on the fiscal cliff, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says automatic tax hikes and spending cuts will take effect unless Republicans agree to raise tax rates on the wealthy. NBC's Peter Alexander.
The White House is preparing in case the country does go over that fiscal cliff. Budget officials have asked all federal agencies for information that they need in case of possible contingency plans in case of those automatic spending cuts.
A USA Today study finds most of the nation's schools don't have alarms to warn of carbon monoxide, despite at least 19 incidents of high levels of the gas since 2007. It's a new day in Washington State. Marijuana possession is legal starting today, and Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes bracing for the unknown.
We are trying to substitute a legal license system for what is nearly a wholly illegal system, and that's going to take time.
And another sweeping change for the Evergreen State, gay marriage is now legal. This is NBC News Radio. U.S. intelligence keeping a close watch on Syria and the possibility that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad will use chemical weapons against Syrian rebels. NBC's Jim Mikluszewski.
U.S. officials tell us that the Syrian military is poised to use chemical weapons against its own people. And all it would take is the final order from Syrian President Assad.
President Obama and NATO have put Assad on notice. Chemical weapons could kill thousands of civilians. On Wall Street, stock futures are flat after yesterday's gains. Abe Lincoln will have the Senate floor next week. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has invited director Steven Spielberg to screen his new blockbuster Lincoln at the Capitol. Break out the popcorn. And the Arctic is going green, and that's not a good thing. New studies show the cold region on top of the world continues to break records for warmer temperatures, lack of snow, and loss of sea ice, factors that contribute to global warming and rising sea levels. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
This is Charles Osgood. In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local, independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens to your car, home, or business. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
In Ann Arbor, call Finn's JM&J Insurance at 734-668-4050.
One-time powerhouse of American industry and innovation, now bankrupt and trying to survive, Eastman Kodak has been offering up many of its patents for sale in hopes of raising much-needed cash. It may have something now. A consortium of mostly Silicon Valley tech firms is offering $500 million for a slate of Kodak's digital imaging patents. Despite the fact that its formerly cozy working relationship with Facebook has hit hard times, you might not want to bet against Zynga. Following word, Facebook now may become a direct rival to the maker of Farmville, Zynga Poker, and other online games. It is seeking a new revenue stream, filing paperwork in Nevada for a gambling license. It would allow people to play Zynga games online and win real money. Ongoing uncertainty over whether Washington will strike a fiscal cliff avoidance budget by deadline is helping hold early Wall Street indicators tethered. S&P NASDAQ futures each losing 2 points, Dow futures slipping 6 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
This season at the Home Depot, Husky 65-piece mechanics tool sets are just $29.88. These tools are new, improved, and guaranteed forever. And they're even more affordable. So what you give the do-it-yourselfer on your list can be a little gift to your wallet, too. Because you gave the gift of doing with a Husky 65-piece mechanics tool set for just $29.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Triano.
And a good Thursday morning to you. I've got to tell you, I have heard from dozens of people already that are headed to the Capitol this morning. Some have said they're headed there this afternoon. My email inbox is full. My Twitter account is humming. I'm even receiving texts from people that are ready for the right to work for less fight. And a fight it will be. But this is not just simple as Republicans versus Democrats. There's a whole lot more going on here. And it's politics which compounds things even further. Repercussions, you bet. How does the electorate feel about it? Well, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Bernie Porn, the principal with Epic MRA, the polling firm out of Lansing. But before we do that, we're going to get an insider. I said Susan Devis was embedded yesterday at the state capitol. So let's get an introduction and get her firsthand account of what happened at the state capitol yesterday.
If you have been looking for real journalism as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Demas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot
as we welcome MERS and MLive journalist Susan Demas.
And we do welcome back to First Shift Susan Demas. And Susan, a good Thursday morning to you. Quite an interesting time, is it not?
It is. I imagine that the Capitol is going to be jam-packed today as I go in there in a couple hours.
Yeah, it certainly will be. First of all, I want to go back to last Thursday. You wrote a piece basically challenging Governor Snyder to take a position to show some leadership, to show some vision. I thought it was one of the best pieces of journalism I've read in a very long time. I, as you know, distributed widely throughout my network. What kind of reaction did you get to that, Susan?
Well, I still didn't get an answer from Governor Snyder, which is the response I was hoping to get. But, you know, I think that, you know, people are very interested in what is going on right now with right to work. I think there's some fatigue because we're only, you know, about a month away from the election, which, you know, obviously sucked away a lot of our attention. So people are tired, but, you know, this is certainly a very controversial issue. And a lot of people, I think, are still surprised that Republican lawmakers would really want to try and sneak something this big in only a few days.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, the rumor is that it'll be introduced today, but the rumor was it was going to be introduced yesterday. I don't know what the holdup is. I don't know if there are negotiations. Actually, I do know there are no negotiations going on. I've talked to some well-placed people that are legislators. They're not talking to each other. They're just yelling at each other right now. As you know, the Democrats started posturing yesterday, voting no. We saw what happened with the transit bill, Susan. I guess we should explain that to the audience. When that went for a vote on the House floor, when the Republicans realized they weren't going to have enough votes to pass it, they stopped the vote.
Right, right. And they held a news conference talking about how this would really hurt the middle class in Michigan and how this was all about punishing Democrats. So, you know, the atmosphere is already poisoned at the Capitol, and certainly if Republicans do push this through, that's what it's going to be like for the next 2 years, which I can tell you as somebody who works in the Capitol, I'm not particularly looking forward to. And I would think that Governor Snyder, who, you know, has tried to avoid that kind of rancor, I would think he would not be looking forward to his last 2 years of his term to be marked by that as well.
Well, we discussed on the show yesterday, I'll just throw this out to you and ask me to give you your opinion, that the governor finds himself in a not very favorable position. Whether if he says no, I'm not going to support right to work legislation, then a lot of the people that donated to his campaign that he had of course had to make some promises to will, you know, exact their revenge. If he says yes, I will support right to work, the moderates that helped elect him and even some Democrats. And we're going to talk to Bernie Porn about this. I'm sure you've seen the epic MRA numbers, that he will face some serious repercussions from the electorate if he supports it. So he's in a no-win situation. Of course, Susan, I'm partisan. I could care less, but he needs to take a position so it's a little bit clearer for everybody involved how to work with this.
Right. You know, the unique thing about Rick Snyder, though, is that he really didn't take that much money from big Republican donors. I mean, he self-funded an awful lot of his campaign. He got a lot of money from the Republican Governors Association. He's not raising money for his political action committee the way Jennifer Granholm did. So I don't think he is as beholden to, you know, Republican special interests as perhaps other governors would have been. But, you know, certainly he's getting an awful lot of pressure, especially from one Dick DeVos who failed to get his job as governor in 2006.
Well, that of course does bring up the Dick DeVos, so we'll go there. I'm sure you've heard that there's going to be a protest, or maybe it was yesterday, they delivered coal to Dick DeVos. So Dick DeVos, the rumor is that he will fund a petition drive if they don't introduce right to work today or before this lame duck session is over, asking for a statewide referendum, which I think would be a total waste of money, but he has the money to waste, and who's going to tell Dick DeVos otherwise? You know, Susan, at the end of the day, here's what's not happening. We're not creating legislation that creates jobs. We're not reforming education in a way that's palatable to parents. We're not doing a lot of things while we fight an issue that the majority of the people of the state of Michigan don't want, and that's right to work.
Well, that's true. It is sucking up all the oxygen. I would say that the Dick DeVos petition drive sounds like a win-win for everybody. I mean, you have lawmakers who don't have to walk the plank and face possible recall or losing their elections and a lot of hostility. He can spend all the money he wants on it and let the chips fall where they may. I think that that's the option that probably sounds most appealing to everybody. But, you know, I'm not paid to be Dick DeVos's advisor. I do think that we won't really see very many other issues tackled. If we do go down this right-to-work road, there just won't be the energy or the desire. When you were talking about creating jobs, you know, one thing that's very curious is I personally haven't heard anybody tell me how many jobs are going to be created by Right to Work. I was on Off the Record with Mike Shirky, the representative from the Jackson area, who's the main person pushing Right to Work, and we all asked him repeatedly, okay, you say that this is good for Michigan, so how many jobs will we be able to see? He never wanted to answer the question. And to my knowledge, nobody has ever answered that question.
Well, there's a profoundly good reason for that. We have a lot of data that shows that Right to Work not only does not create jobs, in many cases, Oklahoma comes to mind, it actually has cost. I shouldn't say that Right to Work has cost them jobs. It just didn't create the kind of stimulus that was promised when they sold it. And that's really where the problem is, Susan. You know, I've had Gordon Lafer on the show out of the University of Oregon, who has done a lot of heavy lifting on this issue, as I'm sure you're aware. We've talked to other economists on this program and I'm talking about some, you know, profoundly nonpartisan folks. You know, the numbers are starkly real. We don't have to guess this stuff. It's out there. Right to Work does not stimulate economy. It does not create jobs. It lowers the average median income for folks. It takes away health care benefits. And, you know, I was on a conference call yesterday with your colleague, Emily, and somebody, in fact, she had asked the question, or somebody had asked the question, you know, doesn't the Affordable Care Act you know, kind of fill in where Right to Work would take away benefits, and no one had the answer to that question.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It seems like all the discussion has just been about, okay, the Republicans have the numbers, when are they going to do the bill? And, you know, I'm just not hearing proponents even bother to try and sell this, which, you know, they don't have to sell it to pass it. If enough arms can be twisted so this gets through the legislature and so that Governor Snyder signs it, that's all true. But the public is going to weigh in on this in the form of, are they going to support recalls? Will this be a big issue in 2014? Will this sour their opinion on Republicans overall? These are all questions that have to be answered. And if you're not willing to make the case for a very controversial policy, I'm not sure how you win those arguments.
Well, it's clear, and you were actually the first one to really be bold enough to say that this is strictly about political vengeance. And it's clear that that's what this is about, Susan. As you said, the proponents of Right to Work, which they're now calling Freedom to Work, you know, the proponents of it have yet to come up with legitimate argument as to why they are even having this discussion. And the electorate may be at some point apathetic, but they're poking a sleeping bear that is starting to get quite angry.
Well, and, you know, I've talked with a lot of Republican strategists off the record, and, you know, frankly, they admit that there are a lot of people who will not like this if Democrats and unions do a minimal amount of messaging on this. It won't be that hard to turn them off of it. So that's something that people are worried about on the other side.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Susan Demas with us, journalist from the Mirror's News Service out of the state capitol. Give us a call, 888-552-3595. We'll be back right after this on 1310 WDTW.
This is John Feigl from the Sugar Law Center for Economic and Social Justice in Detroit, Michigan, wishing everybody out there listening, Tony and all the folks at the station, a warm and happy holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's check out 696 westbound, just after DeQuinder, where we have an accident blocking your two left lanes, and traffic is slow from 11 miles. And we still have that closure, Ryan Road, both directions at East 10 Mile, due to that building fire. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet. Turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest, journalist Susan Demas with the Mirrors News Service out of the state capitol. We are going to go to the phones again. Feel free to join us. You've got the number, Susan. Let's welcome Tony and McComb to First Shift. Good morning, Tony. Happy holidays to you. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick, simple question. A simple understanding of right to work is that it creates choice for labor, either choose or not choose to be part of a union. And, you know, I listen to this show pretty much every day, and my understanding is being part of a union for labor is the best thing because of all the benefits that you get. So where's the real concern? If people are going to have a choice to stay in a union and there's real value that the members are getting from the union dues they pay, they're not going to leave the union, and the members are not going to go down. So what's the concern?
Well, Tony, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Before I turn back to Susan, let me first tell you that the right to work is not defined the way you did it. What right to work actually says is that you would not be forced, quote-unquote, to pay union dues, but you would still get the benefits of being in a union. That's a very broad definition, but that's what the basic issue is. The problem, Tony, of course, is that if you choose not to pay union dues under right-to-work legislation, but still can receive the same benefits of those that do, who is that fair to? Anyway, Susan, let me turn it back to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make an argument that obviously when union workers go through contract negotiations with their employers, you know, that costs money for the union to do that so that they bargain for better wages and benefits. And so if people decide that they want to cut back, save some money, and not contribute union dues, then that process isn't as well funded, so the contract might not be as good. And you are going to have some workers who will essentially be getting the benefits of a union without paying for what keeps it going.
Yeah, and that really is, you know, a big part of this issue. As an example, if you have a grievance that requires an attorney, you know, attorneys are not inexpensive. And so if you are one of those people that chose not to pay union dues, you still have a right by law to the same benefits that those that are paying dues do, which means that union has to provide you representation at their cost, even though you didn't pay into the system. And, you know, somebody said to me yesterday, Susan, and I thought it was a very good analogy, you know, the Michigan Chamber, and I want to talk about the Michigan Chamber here in just a second, but the Michigan Chamber, you know, they were asked this question. If somebody wanted to join the Michigan Chamber but didn't want to pay dues, would they be allowed to? And what's the answer to that question? No.
That's a very good point. There really aren't any organizations I know that would allow you to be a member without paying for it. Actually, I know that most legislative staff, political staff, are expected to make a quote-unquote donation to their, you know, party fund every cycle. That's kind of like a form of union dues when you think about it.
Sure it is.
Democrats and Republicans alike.
Yeah, Susan, let's talk about the chamber. Less than 8 weeks ago, the chairman of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce said that they did not support right to work. All of a sudden, 2 days ago, they do support right to work.
Yeah, it was a very quick turnaround. We usually don't see the chamber act this quickly. They took about a decade to decide that a new Detroit-Canada bridge was a good idea. And even after Governor Snyder asked them, they took months to make a decision on that. But, you know, this decision, you know, they kind of turned on a dime. So I do believe that, you know, you do have, you know, Dick DeVos and people like him are members of the chamber. So, you know, I don't know what their internal process is, but I'm sure they had some vocal members.
I'm sure they did, too. I just find it, hypocritical that you can, you know, less than 8 weeks ago say that you are totally against something and then less than 8 weeks later say you are totally for something. I think that would go to credibility. Maybe it's just my bias. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Bob in Royal Oak. Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, hi. Hi, Tony and Susan. Listen, I got to be working about 4 minutes. So I just wanted to point out real quick, union dues for that gentleman. What's going on there is people are represented without paying their union dues. It's systematically going to break the union. As Susan had mentioned about the things cost. Well, there are just general costs in having a union. And anybody that has been in a union, I've been in now for 16 years. I used to be a Republican. I've learned a lot. And unions are what keep our wages strong. And without paying into a union, the union will fall apart. And believe me, when you go against a company that makes $1.2 billion in earnings in 1 year, you have no rights, believe me.
Yeah.
So a union, although small, cannot you can't stand on your own 2 feet against a company such as that, and you will end up in a Walmart situation.
Now, Bob,
so thanks very much for your time.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
And we don't want you to be late for work, so get in. You know, that Bob makes an important point there, but let's talk about what else this is obviously about, at least in my opinion, Susan Demas. If you take away the strength of the unions, that takes away some of the political muscle of the Democratic Party, and that's really, at some level, what this is about.
Absolutely. I mean, unions are obviously a big financial base for the Democratic Party, both in Michigan and nationwide. And so you take away one of their power bases, that can have a damaging effect. And certainly this is something that Republicans are considering. I mean, it would be the same as if Democrats went after, you know, the Michigan Chamber of Commerce with a bunch of legislation.
There will be a massive demonstration today of people that are anti-right to work for less. We also know that there will be a group showing up that are proponents of that same concept. I'm a little concerned, Susan. Tempers are out of control. Yesterday, I received hundreds of emails, calls all day long, and people aren't upset. They're mad.
Yeah. I mean, the situation is extremely tense, and there has been an increased police presence, to be sure. But, you know, there is certainly the opportunity where tempers might flare and we might see some incidents. I certainly hope that we don't.
No, I certainly hope that we don't either. I guess we'll end with this. How do you think that, and let's just stick with the House for now, how do you think the House Democrats are going to respond to the introduction of this legislation?
Well, there's really not anything they can do procedurally to stop it. They will try and protest. Somebody might try and call for adjournment. You know, there are a few procedural moves they can do to try and slow down the process, but especially in the House, there's just really not much that you can do.
What would happen very quickly if they got up and walked out?
Well, that's an interesting question. They would have already indicated that they were present for the day, so then it would be up to the majority to recognize if they were absent or not, and that could create a really big kerfuffle.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see what happens in a few hours. Good luck, by the way. Wear your bulletproof vest today, Susan Demas. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right. Susan Demas, journalist with the Mears News Service. Bernie Porn from Epic MRA when we continue.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, we got an accident blocking your left shoulder on 696 westbound just after DeQuinder, and still have that closure of Ryan Road both directions at East 10 Mile because of that building fight. And heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Casu and Mount Elliott. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet. Turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Michigan Republicans are working on an anti-union so-called right-to-work law, with GOP Governor Rick Snyder saying it's on the agenda now at the state capitol. These laws are used to weaken and undermine labor unions by allowing employees at workplaces where workers have decided to unionize to opt out of being in the union and paying dues. They're still covered by collective bargaining agreements, forcing unions to bear the costs of making those agreements happen. The laws also allow employers to hire workers who oppose unions. Unions call the laws right to work for less, since workers in states that have passed the laws have lower average wages than in states that don't have them. Michigan AFL-CIO President Carla Swift says workers in right to work states make an average of $1,500 less per year and are also less likely to have pension and health care benefits. Michigan's Chamber of Commerce is pushing for the anti-union legislation. Michigan has less than 2 weeks remaining in the legislative session, so action on the proposed law could come very soon. New York City low-wage workers are taking their campaign for better wages and working conditions to the city's commercial district. It comes on the heels of a fast food strike walkout demanding better pay and working conditions. Cara Noel is with United New York.
We're gathering with workers from all different industries. We'll have airport workers and car wash workers and supermarket workers and even fast food workers joining together saying enough is enough. These workers are uniting to stress the need for good jobs, fair wages, respect, and just the ability to live and take care of their families.
The strike that closed the Port of Los Angeles when ILWU dock workers honored the picket lines of striking clerical workers is over. Jesse Russell reports.
The nation's busiest port was humming once again after clerical workers reached a tentative agreement with the port on Wednesday. Dock workers refused to cross the picket lines, and the port was left mostly at a standstill for 8 days. The strike action led to 10 out of 14 of the Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach docks creaking to a halt. A handful of ships were stuck in dock and others anchored at sea. Many of those that hadn't arrived yet were diverted to other ports along the coast. As of Wednesday, no details had been released publicly, but one of the primary sticking points was a concern that clerical jobs would be outsourced. The shippers have denied that was a goal in the recent contract negotiations. While federal mediators had been sent to the port, the two sides reached their agreement less than 2 hours after they arrived. The clerks have been without a contract for more than 2 years. An estimated $1 billion in trade was impacted by this strike.
Voting has begun in the union representation election for 9,700 passenger service agents at American Airlines. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, says the workers will gain valuable improvements on the job with a union contract. Voting ends January 15th.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, and the emails continue to come in, and the tweets continue to come in. Just astounded. I am literally just astounded how on fire people are. And if I'm surprised by it, that's something. No one's closer to this fight than this radio program. And I've got to tell you, the last 24 hours have been beyond interesting. Well, I know how certainly most union families feel. I certainly have a good grasp on how this audience feels. But let's own our partisanship for a moment, our bias, and wonder, what is the rest of the state thinking? And does it matter? Well, it absolutely matters. And are there consequences to these actions? Are the Republicans making a smart bet, or are they gambling with someone else's money? There's a lot to consider. Joining us now to help us work through this is pollster extraordinaire Bernie Porn with Epic MRA. And Bernie, let me first wish you a happy holidays, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, happy holidays to you, Tony, and I'm glad to be with you again. It's been a few weeks since we chatted the last time.
I do appreciate it. Bernie, we often talk about, especially the conversation as it centers around term limits, this thing called institutional memory. You're a guy with a lot of institutional memory. You've been a part of the Lansing landscape for many, many years now. Have you ever seen a lame duck quite like this?
It's incredible to think that they're considering taking up some of the issues that they're looking at, especially this right to work. I mean, no one is thinking that this is a good idea, including Republicans.
Well, let's talk about that. Epic MRA recently did a survey, a sampled 600 people. The survey was conducted November 27th through the 29th of this year on a variety of issues. But let's, for our purposes today, focus on right to work. What did the survey find, Bernie?
Well, over the past few years, support for right to work has declined dramatically. In 2007, the concept of right to work was supported by 62%. 59% said that they would support it in Michigan, and after hearing arguments for and against it, 55% still supported it. Now you've got a situation where the concept of right to work is supported by 54% in Michigan. However, when voters are asked, how about making Michigan a right-to-work state, it's split. 47% say yes, they favor it. 46% say they do not. However, the intensity is much greater against it with 39% saying they strongly oppose and 31% saying they strongly favor it. And what's amazing is that there's a significant drop-off among Republicans from that first question to the second one. And they are not interested in having right to work taken up. And then we provided arguments both for and against, and basically we used the arguments that you hear in the news that supporters are using and you hear that opponents are using. And after hearing those arguments, there was a dramatic turnaround, and a 51% majority of Michigan voters opposed right to work in Michigan. And that included a strong plurality, 41% saying they strongly oppose it. And when you compare that with past polling data, why, that's a dramatic turnaround. I think that people just don't want to deal with it. Then we asked a question, agreeing, disagreeing with the question, 78% overall agreed that the legislature should be dealing with creating jobs and providing education and not dealing with union-related issues such as right to work. And even 72% of Republicans said that they agreed with that statement.
Those are phenomenal numbers, Bernie.
Oh, I know it, and you know, I don't know where they're coming from. I think that the positioning that they are putting out there on the right to work, that if they, in fact they win the war or win the battle on this, I think given these poll numbers, they could well lose the war. And another thing that we asked, we included questions on the favorability of Obama, Snyder, and job rating on Snyder. And for the first time in a long time, Governor Snyder enjoys a 55% favorability rating. 51% give him a positive job rating. However, when we asked how he would fare against a unnamed Democrat, only 41% say they would vote for him. 36% would vote for the Democrat. And you have half of independent voters undecided on it. Strong support from Republicans and strong opposition from Democrats. However, on the favorability question, he gets in the 30s favorable opinions from Democrats. If he gets into this, that's going to all just disappear.
Wow, these are just, I mean, absolutely fascinating numbers, Bernie. Porn, and, you know, listen to me. This is, I'm serious, Bernie. You know, I'm certainly not as much as you. I've looked at a lot of polls over a lot of years on a lot of different issues. I have never seen anything so clear cut as this poll.
Well, and I'm just amazed that they're playing this game on right to work. It is something that could haunt them and bite them in the end, and it just doesn't make any sense. And when you also look at a question we asked whether voters would be more or less likely to support their legislator if they voted for right to work, or more or less likely to support Governor Snyder if he signed right to work, the numbers are clear. They're much less likely to support either of them than they would be more likely to support. And even among Republicans, only 42% said that they would be more likely to support Governor Snyder in re-election if he were to sign the right to work bill. I mean, that is phenomenal to me.
That is phenomenal. You know, we just got off the line with Susan Demas from the Mirrors News Service, who I know you know, Bernie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, she had written an op-ed about a week. In fact, it was last Thursday, where she had asked the governor to answer the question and show some leadership. Will you or will you not sign right-to-work legislation? I would think, and it'll be interesting to see when, and I'm sure you're going to be polling these same questions again after what's going on over the last week. But, you know, Bernie, it's interesting because the governor could have stopped this insanity after saying for months and months and months that it wasn't on his agenda, only to turn around and use the exact language to say that he was not necessarily supporting it, but that it was now on his agenda. I don't know that that shows, well, I do know, it doesn't show leadership, it doesn't show vision, And I would think that that decision alone will affect his numbers.
Oh, absolutely. You know, had he made it clear in the beginning, since he said he didn't want to take this up, that he would be willing to veto the legislation if it came to his desk, there wouldn't have been a proposal two, I believe. There wouldn't have been a need for it. And the reason there was a proposal two and other collective bargaining related issues is because they were suspicious about the motives of both the Republican controlled legislature and even Governor Snyder. And what he has done by these most recent announcements is confirm their fears.
Well, I think that is quite true. That's why it's interesting when you listen to Republicans talk about the right to work and proposed legislation. Everything goes back to, well, you shouldn't have done proposal two. Based on what you just said, which I agree with Bernie Porn, this could have all been avoided by the governor just uttering a simple sentence, I will not sign a bill. And he refused to do that. So you can throw it at the feet of labor, but Bernie, they have to defend themselves.
Absolutely. And they were doing that preemptively because they were fearful of what would happen in the future. And their fears indeed were confirmed by what Governor Snyder has now announced that it's on the table. And some people say that he's doing this just for positioning to try and get agreement on other issues like the emergency manager bill and other things that he's interested in. But he is playing with fire when you look at the results of this poll. And the other thing that's important is that at one point the chamber was saying that they were not supportive of going with right to work. And even Bill Ballinger, who I'm sure you know very well, stated in response to the notion of this right to work bill that that's just pure greed, what he referred to it as, because you've already gotten almost $2 billion in tax cuts for businesses and corporations when Governor Snyder took office. And that doubled the deficit at the time. And now they're looking at the property tax, commercial property tax issue, which would be another $1.3 billion in tax cuts for business. And to pay for it, there were education cuts as well as taxes on pensions. And now to look at right to work, the one thing that really causes people to turn against that is the so-called free rider argument that people not having to pay dues, they still will be able to collect the wages and benefits and even have representation from the unions, which they are not paying for by paying the dues. That alone, when we tested it last year, caused a 54% support for having right to work in Michigan go to a 55% opposition to the idea.
All right, Bernie Porn, stay with us. We've got to take a quick break here. Bernie Porn again with us with Epic MRA, a polling firm, a premier polling firm out of Lansing. Much more to get to on the other side, and we'll do it after we take this break. If you have a question or comment, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up.
This is Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, Rainbow Push Detroit President and State Coordinator. I'd like to wish the First Shift audience a happy holidays.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again,
Visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
And the one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiani on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. My guest is Bernie Porn with the polling firm, Lansing polling firm, Epic MRA. And some fascinating numbers, and these are fascinating numbers. You know, Bernie, one of the things that I really, what I was really keen on in this latest survey was how well informed the participants were. I mean, you know, I realized that, you know, to find 600 people that seem to be as educated as these folks are, well, it tells us something. I'm not so sure exactly what it tells us, but I'm pleased with what it says to this point anyway.
Well, absolutely. It has increased from 52% saying that they're familiar with the right to work issue back in 2007 to now almost 7 in 10 saying that they're familiar with the issue. And I think that over the past couple of years, especially with all of the debates in nearby states, Wisconsin on labor-related issues and discussions about right-to-work issues and other states taking up right-to-work proposals where they have Republican-controlled legislatures and a governor, I think that people have been paying attention. And that's one of the reasons why there's this differential between even groups, even respondents to our survey who say they generally support the concept of right to work, but not here in Michigan.
Well, it's interesting, especially as we take a look at those that were identified as Republicans in this survey. And you know, there has to be, and we've talked about this for the governor, but I would think for members of the legislature, you know, consequences. We've been talking about this all morning. You know, what are the consequences to Republicans that are going to willy-nilly carry this forward? And, of course, there's a lot of chaos being created, a great deal of anger. I mean, this is not a recipe for success, Bernie.
No, and they may, by taking this up, awaken a sleeping giant by going through with this, if in fact they do. And another thing that's real important is Republican women. In the issues where Governor Snyder and the Republican-controlled legislature made changes, like on pension issues or education funding, usually it was following what we saw in our polls where Republican women objected to some of the things that they are proposing to do. And Republican women recoil about dealing with this issue, and they move dramatically with arguments to where there's almost as many people saying that they would be less likely to support their legislator and Governor Snyder based on taking this up than more likely to. So they will lose ground and pay a price, especially among all women, but even Republican women.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Again, the polling is just fascinating, and the numbers are astounding. But, you know, I think that we have to go back to something that's unfortunately been happening over the last almost 24 months now, and that's what the legislature wants to do and what the public wants to do may be two very different things, but the politicians do what the politicians want and not what the constituency is telling them they want. Now, we saw in the election, Bernie, that although Republicans certainly held on to their majority, they did lose some seats, and in fact, more Democrats received votes on November 6th than Republicans did, thanks to the gift called gerrymandering.
You got it.
You know, this is this could create, you know, and especially if the Democrats continue to draw the line in the sand legislatively and say, we will not vote for anything you folks want. And although they only need a simple majority for quorum, and most stuff passes with a simple majority, Bernie, that doesn't mean the Republicans are doing anything but creating chaos for their own success moving forward.
Absolutely. And the way the lines are drawn, they were able to hold on where if they had been competing in the old lines, they likely would have lost the majority. And they were successful. You know, it's 2010, Democrats lost, and there are consequences to elections. And the consequence was that Republicans got to control congressional redistricting and drawing the lines, as well as state legislative redistricting. And the way you draw those lines can indeed influence things. They controlled enough of the process nationally to the point where Democrats had little chance of taking control of the U.S. House, largely because of redistricting, more than what the issues were.
Well, Bernie, one of the things that I did yesterday was I printed out this survey and I stuck it in my binder of things that I saved, because I'm sure that you will, as I said earlier, be revisiting these questions, and it'll be interesting to compare them. I don't have a crystal ball. If you go with what you're hearing today, the legislation will be introduced. They're going to supposedly vote on it on Tuesday, and then, of course, it ends up on the governor's desk. The governor's saying that it may not even happen this year, so we just have to wait and see what happens moving forward. I want to go back to something we just talked, because I think that this is profoundly important. Voters are knowledgeable on right to work. Voters have made it clear what they do and don't want, and Republicans are not listening.
To even their own voters.
Sadly enough, Bernie, sadly enough. Well, listen, when as I said, when you go to, unless we come up with something first, when you go to re-ask these questions, make sure let us know so we can get you back on to talk about it again.
Absolutely, and I enjoy being on your program, and thank you for asking me.
Bernie Porn, Epic MRA, thanks so much, Bernie. Happy holidays if we don't talk to you.
Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you. Bernie Porn, once again. What fascinating numbers. These are just fascinating numbers. For those of you that are listening in the car that are headed up to Lansing, take these numbers with you. Republicans don't want right to work. Even those that favor it don't want it for Michigan. Did you hear what I just said? Even those that favor it don't want it for Michigan. Democrats don't want right to work. Republican females don't want right to work. Republican males don't want right to work. Is it a Democrat that wants it? And you ask yourself the obvious question. If none of the constituencies want it, then this truly is about political espionage. It is about infiltrating the union movement to weaken the Democratic Party. And so it's as transparent as it can be now. There's no question that's what this is about. I want to remind you that Jay Spolger, the Speaker of the House, is still being investigated by a grand jury. He may have committed fraud. He may end up being a felon. And this is who the Republican Party legislatively elected not once, but twice as their leader. I'm sure Kevin Moore is going to have lots to say about this. In fact, Kevin Moore is on his way to Lansing as we speak. We'll have him on the phone. And then after Kevin Moore, of course, Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. It's going to be an interesting day. Stay punched in. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. NBC News coming up. More with First Shift after this.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog in the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. I said I was really good, the man had a beard, had a bag full of Billy, 12 o'clock at night. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he looked up his wallet smack dead on the lawn.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, we got an accident blocking your left shoulder on 696 westbound just after DeQuinder, and still have that closure of Ryan Road both directions at East 10 Mile because of that building fight. And heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Cashew and Mount Elliott. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Klishevsky. Made in the USA? Apple says next year your Mac could be manufactured and assembled in America. CEO Tim Cook in an exclusive interview telling NBC's Brian Williams.
We've been working for years on doing more and more in the United States. Next year, we will do one of our existing Mac lines in the United States.
The Apple chief making the announcement tonight on NBC's Rock Center. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton tells NATO the U.S. is warning Syria's Bashar al-Assad not to even think about using chemical weapons on Syrian rebels.
We have sent an unmistakable message that this would cross a red line and those responsible would be held to account.
Secretary Clinton meeting with her Russian counterpart today along with the UN peace envoy for Syria. And whatever happened to reefer madness? A majority of Americans now favor the legalization of marijuana after decades of opposing cannabis as a public taboo. 51% say it's high time to legalize. This is NBC News Radio. Gearing up for the fiscal cliff, President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner talked it over on the telephone yesterday. But NBC's Danielle Lee says House Republicans and the White House remain far apart.
And with no solution in sight, the White House Budget Office is now ordering the Pentagon and other federal agencies to finalize their plans for surviving massive spending cuts.
Wall Street coming off an 83-point gain on the Dow, but stock futures point to a lower open this morning. Move over, Hollywood. The box office is being dwarfed by video game sales. Call of Duty Black Ops 2, the latest sizzler, with $1 billion in sales in just 15 days. And they're the pinnacle of low-paying jobs. A new list of the richest companies that paid the least to their workers is topped by Walmart being sued now for minimum wage and overtime abuse, while Taco Bell, Pizza Hut are next, followed by McDonald's, Target, and Sears. I'm Jim Klishevsky, NBC News Radio.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this Friday through Sunday. That's because this Friday through Sunday, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your own one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared. Get set in diamonds this Friday through Sunday for a reward worth up to $1,000 only at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
This season at the Home Depot, Husky 65-piece mechanics tool sets are just $29.88. These tools are new, improved, and guaranteed forever. And they're even more affordable. So what you give the do-it-yourselfer on your list can be a little gift to your wallet, too, because you gave the gift of doing with a Husky 65-piece mechanics tool set for just $29.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
It turns out November would not have been too bad a month for corporate layoffs, except for Hostess. This hour, HR firm Challenger Gray and Christmas revealing its tally of job cut announcements for last month. Just over 57,000 cuts made public in November. 18,500 of those cuts coming from Hostess brands. That means the total number of layoffs exceeded October's tally by 10,000. But year to date, we're still 13% below where we were this time last year for layoffs. In the coming hour, we get the latest on new jobless claim filings. When Christmas gets closer, you'll be able to shop anytime, day or night, at Macy's. The company first tried this 6 years ago at its Queen Center store in New York. Now it's making it across almost the entire chain. Macy's stores to open 7 a.m. Friday, December 21st, then remain open for 48 consecutive hours. Stock indicators down, S&P futures losing a point, NASDAQ futures down 3, Dow futures sliding 4. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
This season at the Home Depot, Husky 65-piece mechanics tool sets are just $29.88. These tools are new, improved, and guaranteed forever. And they're even more affordable. So what you give the do-it-yourselfer on your list can be a little gift to your wallet, too. Because you gave the gift of doing with a Husky 65-piece mechanics tool set for just $29.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store.
Strange times. Politicians would rather fight against each other instead of for the country. People worry about Wall Street daily. But what about Main Street? Who was on our side? What do we have going for us? We've got First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Good morning and welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, it is Labor Day Thursday. In fact, it's been Labor Day Thursday all day this week. Before we get to Kevin Moore, I want to check in with a friend and listener to the program that is part of a group that's exercising their democracy. Greg in Livonia joins us now. Greg, my brother, thank you so much for checking in this morning. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Tony. Glad to hear from you. Thanks so much for the shout-out. We're on our way to Lansing here. The UAW is going to war over this issue. I'm here with a group, with our CAP committee from Local 412. And we are on our way out to Lansing right now. We're going to link up with Carla Swift's people there in Lansing, and we're going to take our voices to Lansing, make sure that they hear from us on this issue.
And I know you will. I appreciate you being a member of the Army that is desperately needed to fight this fight, Greg. And I knew the UAW would be there, and I'm very proud of what you, what your brothers and sisters are doing this morning.
Well, great, Tony. I appreciate your opportunity to talk to you and having the time to go listen to your station. Greg has introduced me to you, and it's just outstanding how much information I get from your show.
Well, I appreciate that, Greg. Travel safely. Thank you for your call, and I'm sure that by the end of the day there will be much to talk about. Greg, thanks so much. All right, with that said, let us turn our attention to our next guest. Can I have an introduction, please?
Joining us now from Teamsters Local 299,
a labor leader who defines with his deeds leadership and bravely guides his membership with courage and strength.
Here we are today embarking on another fight, another challenge that the state of Michigan is continuously attacking working class families, not just union families, working class families, middle class people in Michigan are under the biggest attack of their lifetime.
The plain talking union man, Kevin Moore.
And joining us now is my brother, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. And Kevin, you heard that UAW caller. They're going to war, Kevin. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. And it was wonderful to hear my UAW brothers and sisters. As we all know, my wife is from the UAW. We are a solid labor house. And I'm on my way to Lansing today, Tony. That's why I'm calling in mobily today, to go with the army of brothers and sisters, union workers, non-union workers. This issue is something that is majorly important to the working class families of Michigan.
Kevin, this issue of right to work or right to work for less is really, it has multiple layers. This isn't just about finances. It's not just about how much money you make. It's about safety. It's about rules. It's about a lot of things, benefits, insurance, and so on and so forth. But, Kevin, what the Republicans have done is they've turned this into a political vengeance game. And they're claiming, and I'm just going to play it out, they're claiming that because the unions had the audacity, Kevin Moore, to promote Proposal 2, to put that on the ballot, that this is political payback. Maybe nobody told the Republicans, but we didn't win, Kevin.
Well, you know, there's another absurd comment coming out of the far right again. Do you think that all the unions in Michigan wanted to get together and spend $19 million of our money to fight and try to change the Constitution? The governor would have had a real quick fix to this whole issue. All he would have had to say is the state of Michigan is in turmoil. We have the city of Detroit going defunct. We have job losses throughout this state, people living in the streets. Right to work is not my issue. And we could have saved the money. We only did this to try to protect our workers and middle-class Michigan workers. And we were right on the money because here we go again. They said right to work wasn't their issue. Well, here we are, a fine Christmas present for the workers of Michigan. Because let me just tell you this. Our union brothers and sisters will be out there in droves, and there will be a lot of Michigan families out there with them that aren't even in the union. It is to protect everyone. It's not just a union fight. It's the standard of living. It's the conditions. It's the working conditions you work under. This would have been a really quick fix. Now, I will tell you this. They won Prop 2, and they won Prop 2 under the guise that people that didn't understand the Constitution fell into this gap saying that the Constitution was something that you just didn't change. The average Michigan citizen didn't know it's been changed 23 times and brought up to a vote 63 times. So they won on the Constitution, and people were scared of that. Now they have no Constitution issue to hide behind. This is just a straightforward attack on Michigan families.
It is, and it's also an attack on the Democratic Party, as we know. I mean, it's not a secret, Kevin. Unions are a great supporter of the Democratic Party and Democratic causes, and they feel, obviously, that if they can weaken the union, they can weaken that source of support. I don't think they're understanding that the exact opposite will actually be true, that if they somehow manage to get right to work passed in the House and the Senate, and the asshat that's named Governor Rick Snyder signs it, that that's the beginning of a whole nother war. This doesn't last long.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing that they better be paying attention to, because I have some Republican friends that are up there in Lansing, and I truly bet that there is a lot of Republican legislators that are afraid to death of this, because their numbers are going to drop. They're putting themselves in a situation where they can be looking for a new job in 2 years. So this isn't a clear-cut thing that it's just a Democrat issue. These Republicans that are up there, especially the far right, should be paying attention to what they want to do here. There's bigger issues that they need to deal with and tackle legislatively than try to put right to work on the table.
You know, Kevin, it's interesting. I just had Bernie Porn on from Epic MRA. They did some polling on this issue, and the numbers were astounding. The vast majority, the plurality of people, both Democrats and Republicans, don't want right to work. In fact, this is one of the most interesting numbers, and I want you to share this with people today. 78% of those that were surveyed in this poll, 78%, Kevin, said they didn't even want the legislature discussing right to work.
And that's on both sides of the aisle.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? But then they're still going to let this far-right whack job group try to push this issue. I mean, their own party better stand up and say, you know what, they would make themselves look like heroes here, Tony, if the true conservative Republicans stood up and said, you know what, our state is falling apart. And we push right to work, it's going to lower the standards again for Michigan workers. It's going to hurt the communities with their housing market that's already completely flipped upside down. It's going to send us in another spiral to the bottom. I mean, they got their tax breaks, Tony. I mean, Governor Snyder is a businessman. He got $2 billion of tax breaks for his business folks. He got that. He pushed our retirees to pay taxes on their pension. I mean, when is enough enough for beating up on Joe Working Man?
Well, that's a great question. When is enough enough, especially when the vast majority of people don't even want you discussing the issue, let alone passing legislation to enact it? Let me switch gears for just a second, and let's talk about the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Less than 8 weeks ago, Kevin, they came out and definitively said that they did not support right to work. 2 days ago, they said they now vigorously support right to work. That kind of hypocrisy, Kevin, should not and cannot be tolerated.
Well, that's their old flip-flop version again. You know, we over here one day, kind of like what Mitt Romney did for 1 year in the presidential campaign. No matter what state he was in, every day his story changed, his video changed, and his opinion changed. That's exactly what the Chamber of Commerce is doing again.
Before we get to our first break, I've got to ask you, I know you've talked to James Hoffa, your international president. I would imagine his blood pressure is through the roof right now.
Well, I just flew in late last night from D.C. I was with him for 2 days. He is completely spinning out of control with emotions, and his heart and soul is with Michigan. His family's here from Michigan, and he feels the empathy of the workers of Michigan. That's why I got on an airplane last night to head home, because I got to be with my union brothers and sisters in the state of Michigan right there in the front lines with them.
Let's for a moment, I'll wait till after the break, because we're kind of up against the break. I will say this, and I have no idea how many people are headed up that way. There were about 1,000 people at the Capitol yesterday. Kevin, I can probably safely say there will be double that, if not more. And, you know, it's important if people can get up there that they should get up there. We need a strong army of folks, even if all you do is show up and chant. We need an army of folks to make sure this legislature knows that we will not tolerate what they're trying to do.
Absolutely, Tony. I mean, what are we going to do? This is what we're going to give Michigan workers for a Christmas present. Come on, are you kidding me?
Well, I find it I find it astounding that for a couple of reasons, and we'll come back from the break and talk about this, but You do this, in a lame duck session. You do it at the end of the year. There are people that are leaving the legislature, so they have no political payback. But that doesn't mean that's everybody. Kevin, stay where you're at. We're going to come back, and we got a whole lot more to talk about. Kevin Moore is with me. He is the president of Teamsters Local 299. You have a question or comment? I want to hear from you. 888-552-3595. First Shift continues right after this.
This is Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, wishing all of the listeners of First Shift with Tony Trupiano a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Taking your busy rush hour commute, we got an accident blocking your right lane on 75 northbound at 14 Mile. 21 Mile Road east and west, disabled vehicle is on the right shoulder of the on-ramp to westbound 94. 696 westbound at Van Dyke, another accident is blocking your right shoulder. Losser Road southbound at Maple, accident is blocking one lane. And Mound Road southbound at 696, got a spinout accident blocking the right lane on the ramp to 696 eastbound. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift.
with Tony Triano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Labor Day Thursday, my guest, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. He himself is on his way to Lansing to lend support to the entire labor community, not just the organized labor community, the entire labor community, as the Republican-controlled legislature is trying to exact revenge upon those in the middle class and for political reasons. Join us at 888-552-3595. Kevin, let's welcome Herb in Northville to First Shift. Herb, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Kevin Moore.
Okay, well, hi, Tony. Hi, Kevin. First, I wanted to do, give a shout-out to my wife, Robin, who is also on her way to Lansing with some members from AFT Local 1085 out of Taylor.
Good for her. Good for her.
Yep. And there's like a lot of fronts that need to be fought in this in the legislature. Since the front about not getting it, passed in the first place and not getting it through committee in the first place. That's why we're mobilizing in Lansing today and why we're writing and calling and all that. But I was trying to think about other things that are happening. And one of the things that has been a consistent problem is this immediate effect process, where every time a bill is passed in the House, they go through the motion of this bogus voice vote for immediate effect, and they're hiding behind the fiction that there's never enough numbers calling for a roll call, and they never bothered to go through and actually count who wants these bills, these onerous bills, to take immediate effect. And I have an idea out there, and I'm just thinking that if we could get to the House caucus, House Democratic caucus, and if they individually wrote a letter, certified it, presented it to the House parliamentarian, saying that they, as a member and as the Democratic caucus, will never accept a voice vote on immediate effect. I was wondering if that might be something that would, interrupt that. If it's on the record.
Herb, let me tell you, because the Democrats actually sued the Republicans for the immediate effect, and a judge ruled with the Republicans on that issue. So,
what they ruled was that they could continue pretending as if there is not anything on the record saying that that there's a 20% number that So I'm thinking that if there was something in writing on the record presented in the House record saying that they would always demand a roll call vote on immediate effect to get that 2/3 majority, whether that might be something that would go around that judge's ruling and prevent these, some of these votes, like especially if Right to Work passes, the last thing you want is for it to have immediate effect.
Well, I will ask that question, Herb. I will get the, I don't know it off the top of my head, but I will ask that question of Representative Tim Grimmel, and I will let you know what he has to say. But I want to thank you for the call, and tell Robin that I'm very proud of her, Herb.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
You bet. You bet. Kevin, there's a lot of reasons, as I said, as Herb just said, there's so many different layers to this. This isn't just simply a matter of bogus legislation that people don't want. If this were to pass, it so negatively affects millions of Michigan families, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't really think that they're thinking this through with the Republican side of this aisle, because they are going to infuriate and ignite working class people in this state more than they are considering. There is things that the working class families can team up with Governor Snyder and his legislators, along with our Democrats, to help fight the issues that are out here. This is one that is going to negatively impact, like you just said, millions of people in Michigan. And we are just trying to get out of this worst recession of our lifetime.
But there's clearly reasons to be, ultimately very, very concerned about the way this is progressing, because the legislatively, the Democrats are saying that they're going to not vote on anything the governor wants. We saw a little bit of that yesterday. Politically, this is a nightmare for a variety of reasons, including the fact, Kevin, there may be some awfully necessary legislation that will get pushed to the side because the Republicans decided on an agenda that nobody wants to see happen but them. And that beyond being selfish, they continue to thwart progress here in the state of Michigan at a time, Kevin, where we're seeing unemployment go up again.
Yeah, you know, the amazing part, here's a novel idea. Wouldn't it be a novel idea for that Michigan start and maybe give the United States Congress a little clue that whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, their constituents voted you in there to take care of issues and concerns of them, not themselves. It'd be a novel idea if all started working together on issues instead of just protracting one side against the other side. I'm so wore out with that kind of politics. It's sickening.
Well, it is sickening. And again, I'll go back to the Epic MRA survey that I referenced a little earlier, and the numbers that are coming from rank and file people, just people that get up and go to work every day, both Democrats and Republicans. You know, Kevin, even those that favor right to work legislation do not favor it in the state of Michigan. Now, that's something that I find fascinating, mostly because I think people understand the importance of what organized labor has meant to the middle class. Of course, the organized labor created the middle class. And so for that, and I think that they have a real sense of history, of tradition, and why it's important, to protect that. I find that fascinating.
Well, I mean, this is where it was created. This is where it's run from. Our middle class structure in Michigan is surviving and has been thriving for centuries under that model. And that's why you always hear me. I am so proud to be a union member. I'm so proud to be a Teamster member. But I also am proud that our unions together have helped people that aren't in the unions because their economic standard of living is higher because they have to be paid higher to keep, you know, those, quote, who don't like unions to keep us from knocking on their door. So, I mean, everybody benefits from a strong working middle-class community, and the unions are the bar setter.
Oh, there's no question that's true. And you know, we had a caller yesterday that 16 years in a non-union shop but gave nothing but props to unions because he's well aware that without collective bargaining, they would not have the deal they have in their workplace. And that's just one of millions of testimonials, Kevin, that are in favor of organized labor. You know, I also want to point out, because the mainstream media keeps getting this wrong as well. Nobody's forced to join a union. In fact, it's illegal to force anybody to join a union. So this idea that we need laws to stop people from joining unions is ridiculous. There are already laws that say you can't force someone to join a union.
Absolutely. The National Labor Relations Act, it covers it. You have a right to vote your Congress, Senator, and the President of the United States. You also have the same right to vote for a union. Majority vote counts. And if that's the way you want to go, you have a right to vote for it. If you don't want it, you have a right to vote no, too.
Absolutely.
So, Kevin, I mean, that is an absurdity.
Yeah, we have to take a break. Do you want to stay with us, or do you need to get going?
Tony, you couldn't get me off this radio show with you. You're the best part of my day. So I enjoy my every 2 weeks, so I'm staying on as long as you want me to.
All right. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. We got the break. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
696 westbound, just west of Mound Road. Accident still blocking your right shoulder. 21 Mile Road, both directions. A disabled vehicle is on the right shoulder of the on-ramp to westbound 94. Lassa Road, southbound, just before West Maple. Accident is blocking one lane. Traffic is using the northbound lane to get by. And Mound Road, southbound at 696. You got a spit-out accident, and that's blocking the right lane on the ramp to eastbound 696. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet. Turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work.
Do you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Once again, there's a tempest brewing in the national teapot. We're talking secession. Well, some of us are. Actually, very few. And some of them aren't too tightly wrapped. There's now a secession drive in a mess of red states. But it started right here in my crazy state of Texas when someone identifying himself only as Micah H. posted a petition on the White House website shortly after President Obama's reelection. Expressing exasperation with Obama's policies, Micah demanded that we Texans be allowed to decamp from the Union and become our own separate nation. Bam! Micah's petition exploded in the blogosphere, drawing raucous applause and huzzas. Naturally, most of the cheering came from out-of-staters, delighted with the thought that Texas and its notoriously nutty right-wing political leaders might leave. In case that nuttiness factor was in doubt, a GOP official in southeast Texas rushed out to demonstrate the intellectual depth of the secessionist sentiment by militantly declaring, "We must contest every single inch of ground and delay the baby-murdering, tax-raising socialist at every opportunity." In due time, he added, the maggots will have eaten every morsel of flesh off the rotting corpse of the Republic, and therein lies our opportunity. By maggots, he meant Obama supporters, but I guess you knew that. This is Jim Hightower saying, many in the national media have expressed shock and alarm that Micah's online petition has drawn some 118,000 digital signatures. But get a grip. Let's remember that there are more than 26 million Texans, including 3.5 million Obama voters. So, sorry, America, but Texas isn't going anywhere. And even if it did, Austin has already filed a counterpetition to then secede from Texas and operate as its own state within the U.S.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, is my guest. He is on his way to Lansing to join union brothers and sisters, non-union brothers and sisters, in a show of solidarity against a proposed right to work for less legislation that, by the way, hasn't even been introduced yet. Let me give you the number. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. Getting a kick out of how many of you are headed up there. I've heard from lots and lots of people this morning. Kevin, let me welcome you. Let me welcome you back. You know, I think that as we explore the intricacies of what right to work does, it really is, you know, somebody suggested yesterday a right to freeload. You know, basically, you would have the same rights and responsibilities as a union member without paying your dues. And then, of course, if you needed, a grievance or you needed a union-backed attorney, you'd have to provide that person or those services to that individual, whether they were participating by paying dues or not. We brought this up in the last hour, so I'll throw it at you. We'll use the Michigan Chamber of Commerce as an example. To be a member, Kevin, you have to pay dues. What if I decided as I wanted to be a member, but I didn't want to pay dues? You think they'd let me be a member?
That would be no.
Yeah, that would be no, Kevin.
That would be no. But they have, you know, they have different rules than working families, you know? The power of money and the boys with the money they set their own rules. Now, we have to follow a different set of rules. It's always kick the working person in the teeth. They have the money, and that's how they run it. You know, but just like this right-to-work thing, Tony, you know, a lot of these right-wing people up there and some good conservative Republicans, they're business leaders. I mean, they come from wealthy families. And I don't know what they think right to work is going to do for them and their workforce other than them giving them the umbrella to lower their wages and conditions. But then they're going to have turnover problems. I mean, this is one thing unions do and create strong non-union companies is you want a workforce that's going to give you 30 years of your life and dedication and commitment. You know, that should mean something. They're giving their whole working career to you. You lower these wages anymore and you start taking away their conditions, you're going to have a turnover workforce. There's nothing worse for an operation to have to retrain and re-educate workforce on a turnover basis of every 90 days.
Yeah, Kevin,
they're asking for something that I don't think they're going to they know what they're doing.
They don't know what they're doing, which is my – actually, that's exactly where I wanted to go. Let's stay with this for just a bit longer. I participated in a conference call yesterday with two nationally known economists on right to work. Somebody asked the question, and it's a legitimate question, if you are a proponent, if you agree with right to work – what data do you have that shows that right to work creates job and creates a more friendly business environment? These two economists, nationally renowned, award-winning economists, said nothing. Nothing. There is no data to support that right to work creates jobs or, Kevin, creates opportunity for business.
It gives them an opportunity to just to lower the standard of living. That's what it gives them.
Well, and what it does is it gives those that are already in your state the opportunity to rape your pay and your benefits and to eliminate work rules that cost them money, ergo fattening their bottom line. And I've said this on the show before, Kevin. I'll repeat it again. When you are part of a corporation, when you are the officer of a corporation, you have something called a fiduciary duty, a financial duty to protect the corporation that you cannot knowingly do harm. Under the law, that allows you to get away literally, well, not literally, but practically with murder. Right to work makes it that much easier. This is really about making sure that your corporate sugar daddy gets their political payback for supporting you financially in an election. And that's all this is about.
That's right. It makes sure that the, you know, they have a gun that's only got five bullets in the chamber. This puts the extra bullet in the chamber. Now they got a completely loaded gun. And they got a gun that they don't know what they're dealing with or how they're going to use it. And it's going to backfire on them. And I truly believe, just like the gentleman said earlier about a roll call vote, trust me, my friend, if they could do a roll call vote, these Republicans that are against it, that are afraid to stand up to the far-right whack jobs, would have to stand up, and they would not even come close to getting the vote for right to work. Because there's a lot of Republican men up there and women that are totally opposed to right to work. They just don't know how to get off their chair and stand up and be a leader.
No question that's true. And for people that don't understand what immediate effect is, which is what Herb mentioned, they can do a procedural vote with a two-thirds majority in the chamber that if they vote yes, that the law takes literally immediate effect. If not, it takes up to 6 months. All right. Well, you say, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is in that six-month period, you have time to fight against something, to get it changed, to manipulate. And, of course, the Republicans don't want to be told what to do in any way, shape, or form. They have forced through so much legislation via immediate effect, it's embarrassing. Now, I've got to be honest, Kevin, the Democrats, when they had power, they did the same thing. That doesn't make it right, and I've always been the first to say that. But we need to be very careful. And I think it's time to change some rules, but right, you can't do it in the middle of a fight like this. I find it absolutely fascinating, Kevin, that as we look at what they've done to teachers in this state, we look what they've done with municipal workers, we look at what they've done with state workers, public sector workers have taken a beating as a result of this Republican legislature, it really makes one wonder if they really believe that they're going to get away with this. Now, I want to go back to that survey one more time and, Kevin, share with you that a plurality of people said that if the Republican legislature enacts right to work, that there will be a political price to pay. That's another way of saying that they will not get voted back in come 2014. Not to mention the fact, Kevin, this creates an environment for recalls like we've never seen.
Oh, it's going to create more havoc up there than they can even imagine. And, Tony, you know, even Governor Snyder here, I'm going to put this on the line because I have agreed with him on some of the issues, and I'm a man to tell you when I do. When he's right, I'll tell you he's right. When he's wrong, I'll tell you that I feel that he's wrong. I'm a straightforward guy. I care about the right issues. I don't care about I am a Democrat, 100% strong Democrat. But there's times that I've agreed with what Republicans are doing, and then if it's meant good things for working families, I'm with them. Very seldom do I hear that anymore. There used to be days when both sides would convene over that. But I bet you if the governor ran his own polling numbers, if he does his right to work, his numbers are going to drop so significant, he could come out of this as a hero and probably get working class families to vote head over heels for him in the next election if he just said, this is not the time for me to sign right to work. I have too many other issues. He would be a hero in the state. But he's going to let his right-wing party talk him into a fiscal cliff, what he's going to let him do.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone again. I'll remind you, our number, 888-552-3595. Ken in Ortonville joins us now. Ken, thanks for punching in with us this morning.
Yeah, guys, Tony, Kevin, good to talk to you. Hey, a couple things nobody's mentioning. Governor Snyder ran on I'm a Milliken-type governor. Well, if he even thinks of voting this in or signing this in, that just makes him a full liar on that subject. The other thing is that nobody's talking about is right-to-work states make employees make an average $5 less per hour, which is a huge decrease in our tax revenue. What taxes are they going to raise to make up for this shortfall? I just wanted to throw those couple things out there, guys.
And thank you, Ken. I appreciate the call. You know, Kevin, we got lots of facts, and I think those are, you know, those are two important. First of all, the governor is not a Milliken Republican. There's no way. And, you know, Kevin, I want to go back to just the simple idea that the governor said for months, many, many months, that right to work was not on his agenda until 3 days ago when he said it was on his agenda. We're not stupid, Kevin.
Well, here's the deal, too, Tony, and I'm hoping that maybe he's being emotional because he was mad about Proposition 2. You know what? Some of the onus goes on his desk. If he just stood up and told the state of Michigan that I am not for right to work, there would have been no Prop 2. So he has some of the blame to take here, too. Youth that working fast plan families and unions wanted to go out and spend $18 million of their dues money, to fight Prop 2 when we have workers' injustice going on out here. We have companies that we want to help get over this economic crunch that they're in. You know, our union members have suffered in the last 5 years, too, taking concessions and changing conditions to help our employers. So we, the unions don't go put their employers out of business. We're business partners.
Yeah, I
go back to what the young. Go ahead.
I just to say that's the part I don't understand, Kevin. You know, the Teamsters have demonstrated, every union, the UFCW, the UAW, the SEIU, I could go on and on and on. Unions have demonstrated that they understand the importance of the partnership between management and labor. We've got to get to the break, Kevin. Hold your thoughts. We've got callers coming in. We're going to get to all of this when we wrap this hour up on the other side of this break. I am Tony Trupiano. You are listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Right to work for less is wrong, just dead wrong. When we come back, we'll continue that discussion.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'd just like to wish all of you and your families the merriest and happiest this holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW. Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President L. Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing, that they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Become informed, learn the truth, stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW 1310 AM, and it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back. It is 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Coming up in the next hour, Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. Right now, we have Kevin Moore, the president of Teamsters Local 299. We are talking about right to work and the fight. Kevin is on his way to Lansing to join thousands of other people in solidarity in the middle class that are fighting for their rights. Kevin, let's welcome one of your members, John, with Local 299. John, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with your president, Kevin Moore.
Thanks, Tony. Hey, Brother Moore. Yeah, I went and voted recently, and there were a lot of open spots on the Democrat side on the ballot, you know, where even if you voted a straight ticket, there weren't candidates there. And it just seems like all the money, the number you said, $19 million, staggering from, you know, labor, that, you know, if we would just invest more in these other seats where they're, the wackos are at, and if we can get just a candidate that, you know, is seeing things a little bit more clearly, we wouldn't have to worry about right to work. I know it's a little late, Kevin, but it's just a different thought.
Yeah, well, John, thank you for the call. Let me, Kevin, before you respond to that, let me just remind John that gerrymandering, redistricting, makes it virtually impossible for Democrats to win some seats.
Yeah, well, they had total control, and they got the geographical map out. They redefined it so they knew where their constituents would be and carved out the Democratic vote. But John is right on the money here. But, John, let me rest assure you this, my friend. They're playing with a ticking time bomb today up here in Lansing. And there will be a lot of casualties in Lansing. There were a lot of people looking for a new career if they unleash this power that they have today. Working class families in Michigan aren't dumb people. They've been getting kicked in the teeth long enough. Prop 2 woke them up. And the only reason why we lost Prop 2, my friend John, is because people were confused about the Constitution. They don't have that to hide behind right now. Now they're dealing square in the face of working class Michigan families, and they're saying, you don't count.
Absolutely.
They're going to pay the price for that.
Absolutely, they are. 888-552-3595. My good friend Jim Amar joins us now. Jim, Merry Christmas to you. You're on the air.
Thanks, Tony. Merry Christmas to you. Hi, Kevin. Question I had in my mind, two comments. You think there's any possibility that if there's enough heat up there that these guys will come back and have a right to work that'll be just for certain groups and not others? And even if Snyder somehow doesn't sign this thing now, do you believe there's enough votes in a legislature that'll take office after January 1st to prevent it from coming up again? And if it can be prevented, what's the likelihood that he will or will not sign it after the first, like Daniels in Indiana?
Two great questions. Let me ask your permission, Jim, to ask the first question a little differently. And what I would suggest is, instead of saying, are they going to just include some or exclude others, let me ask the
Correct.
Question this way. Well, let me ask the question this way. Kevin Moore, do you think that labor will, quote-unquote, compromise on a right-to-work light where it's not actually right-to-work, but you have to give up some control? Or is this an all-or-nothing proposition for labor?
Well, I'll tell you, it's an all-or-nothing proposition for me. I can't go to bed at night and look myself in the mirror if I look after my interests and leave some of my other union brothers and sisters, like the teachers, who are getting maligned and destroyed. I have so much love for teachers and firefighters and people like that out there in our Michigan communities. Our teachers, God bless them for educating our kids, because Lord knows I wouldn't want to be a teacher under these conditions. So my answer to that for me would be hell no.
Right.
I'm going to stand strong with them.
Jim, does that answer that? Jim, does that answer that question?
Yeah, it does, Tony, because, the legislation they enacted before, basically has almost wiped out the Teamster jobs in the public schools. And, of course, they came back and they said, I think if you're a public school employee, you can't have the dues checkoffs. And,
right.
So, yeah, answer the question.
All right. Thank you for your call, Jim. Nice to talk to you. Kevin, as far as if it does pass and when, or if the governor will sign it, neither one of us have a crystal ball. What we have to do, of course, is doing exactly what you're doing today, leading by example, going up there and making sure your voice is heard.
Another thing, Tony, that we can do that we do well in Washington, all over the country, for our legislators and to help working communities and unions. You're sitting at home. Some people just can't get to Lansing, Tony, whatever their conditions are. But you know what? They have a phone. They have an email. We need to start flooding Lansing, the legislators, start flooding their phones, flooding their emails with messages saying, don't do this. Be careful what you're doing. People sitting at home, get on the phone. Use your emails. Fax some stuff. Get information out. Let them know that just because you can't be there as a soldier marching, you still have a voice, and your voice needs to be heard right now.
I got to tell you, I had posted on Facebook yesterday, we got word at about 3:30, quarter to 4, that they were going to be introducing the legislation. Now, it didn't end up happening, but I had posted a number to call, because they're going to introduce it in the Senate first. I had posted a number for folks to call, and about 20 minutes into it, I started getting messages that first of all, the line was busy, and then the voicemail box was full, so they stopped answering the phone, the cowards.
Yeah, well, just keep doing it. They have a job to do, and their job is going to be listening to us. So keep locking up that voicemail. Keep blowing up that fax machine, and keep firing them emails at them.
Again, you don't have a crystal ball, Kevin, but I have to think, and I'm going to hold on to this for a while, that if enough noise is made and if enough people show up, if enough demonstration happens, that even these weaselly Republicans in the legislature might find some clarity and say, perhaps we should slow this down. And there is a possibility that may happen.
Well, you know, here's the other good one. You know, Republicans are always good at putting polling out, and some of it isn't too factual. But they know how to do their own internal polling. If they have ever done a poll in their career, they better do their own poll, and they better look at them numbers crystal clear and realize this is an issue that is not worth them fighting for unless they want to look for a new job in 2 years, because believe me, there will be a big, big change in Lansing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the governor, to our governor, he could be a hero. He could look like a hero to the community of Michigan by saying, you know what, there is too many issues on my plate that I don't need up this fight.
Well, he's got to show leadership, and he hasn't to this point. Brother Kevin Moore, thank you for this hour. Drive safely. Thank you for being our voice today, and I'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Tony, I just want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday to you and your family. Much love, and to the greatest radio audience in America, I wish your families nothing but the best for the new year. Happy Holidays.
President Kevin Moore, a quick break for the top of the hour. Chris Mihalakis when we continue.
Here comes Santa Claus. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
696 westbound, just west of Mound Road, accident still blocking your right shoulder. 21 Mile Road, both directions, a disabled vehicle is on the right shoulder of the on-ramp to westbound 94. Lassa Road, southbound, just before West Maple, accident is blocking one lane. Traffic is using the northbound lane to get by. And Mound Road, southbound at 696, you got a spit-out accident, and that's blocking the right lane on the ramp to eastbound 696. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet turn Thursday nights into family nights. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities and all-you-can-eat dessert. Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 42. Tonight, a low of 38. Tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 46. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.